When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, and they, as Mary and Joseph, brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own hometown of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A number of years ago, my first husband, Kirk, was talking with his grandfather. And everyone in the world called Kirk's grandfather Pa. I don't know when that started, how old Pa was when the world started calling him Pa, but everybody called him Pa. And he was in his late 90s at the time. And Kirk asked Pa, "What was the most fascinating thing that you have ever seen, witnessed in your life?" Because when Pa was born, there were a lot more horse and buggies than there were automobiles. And Kirk was expecting Pa to say something like, you know, Neil Armstrong landing on the moon, or, you know, computers or something like that, jet airplanes. And Pa sat there for a second and he said, "You know what? I think the most fascinating thing is television. How can they get that person from so far away into my living room instantaneously? I just don't get it. I've never gotten it. That's the most fascinating thing I have ever seen." And Kirk was a little shocked by that. Think of all the technological changes that Pa had seen over the decades. And yet it was this sense of instantaneous information coming right to him in his living room from someone who was standing live halfway around the world. Pa knew what it was at different times in his life to wait. You know, whenever he was a young man, you had to wait for a telegram, not even have a telephone. You had to wait to board a train because you didn't drive. You know, it was a sense of a slower pace, and then all of a sudden comes this technology, even far greater than radio, to be able to disseminate all of this information and to expand your world in such a profound way. Pa had also seen how church could change and faith could change as well. Paul was born into a small Baptist Kentucky, rural Kentucky family. And they, whenever he was old enough to join this little rural church, he joined the church. Time went by and he met his wife, and who was Presbyterian. And back then, Presbyterians and Baptists just did not marry. That was taboo. Presbyterians baptized babies, and Baptists baptized believers. And it was like, he just could not. The twain should never meet. And so when Paul was going to get married, he was going to join his wife's church, Ma. He was going to join Ma's church. And he went into the pastor's office, and he said, you know what, I need to move my membership from this Baptist church over to the First Presbyterian Church. And the pastor wouldn't do it. He said, you know, I think that you really need to think about this, and you're going down a path that we don't think you should go down, and we'll hold on to your membership until you change your mind. Pa said, I'm never going to change my mind, and he got up and walked out of the building. And about 75 years later, he got a letter from that little Baptist church saying that he was the oldest living member of that church. And they would love for him to come back for this big 150th anniversary that they were having. And he got the biggest kick out of that, thinking, you know, how far we have come. And, you know, that there was a time when you couldn't, it was like, you know, saying I'm going to marry a Martian, that you would say I'm going to marry a Presbyterian. But times do change. And if we wait long enough, something is going to change. Our lives change very quickly. Technology seems to just move us so quickly down the stream of life. There was a time whenever technology and changes were happening, but it just was not as fast. Simeon and Anna, in our scripture passage today, knew what it was to wait. They lived in a much slower time, but they were of an age where they had lived to see a great many things. Simeon himself was waiting to see the Christ child. God had said to him in a vision, you won't die till you see the Messiah. So here Simeon is waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen, for the change to come. Anna herself, a prophet who had lived in the temple all the time, most of her adult life, was waiting for the Christ child to come. I love this story because it's one that I remember whenever I was a young child learning about, learning Bible stories in Sunday school. And it was a time, it was one of those things where as a little girl, you know, it was the traditional Sunday school and you'd have your lesson, you'd have your craft, you've had your snack, and then you got to play with the toys. Well, I loved this story of Simeon and Anna because the picture, you always had a picture that would go along with the story every Sunday. And in this picture, it looked like Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, and Anna and Simeon were this happy little family. And that it was like they were going to church, and the grandparents were just oohing and aahing over little baby Jesus, and they were so excited. And I loved my grandparents, and I loved going to church because there were a lot of nice grandparent faces all around. And you know, you knew the right person to go ask for bubble gum, and you knew the right person who had the peppermints, and you know, people would just make you feel so at home. And I think that's why I love that story. It came out of the Bible, but the picture made it just look like a place that I wanted to be, and it made me all warm inside. The thought of these people caring so much about baby Jesus coming to the temple. This passage presents to us such a beautiful image of faith community. It's what one commentator calls soul family. The church or the faith community being soul family. Anna, Simeon, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus present this great intergenerational soul family. And they pass on their gifts and their faith to one another. Simeon and Anna have waited a long time for God to do God's work. And they're waiting, as good Jewish folk do, for God to make a move. They do it in the temple. Mary and Joseph bring this little child to come and do what his many ancestors have done, which is to sacrifice and to have him circumcised and to dedicate him to the Lord. They follow what the law says that they should do, which binds them together to God and to one another. They come to this place, this temple, where they know they belong and to whom they belong at this very deep soul level. And we see how Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph pass on this identity as children of God to Jesus. They go through these rituals and renew their faith and their identity as children of God in this beautiful way that's presented to us this morning. Simeon and Anna play a vital role in all of this story because they are the example of the generations who have come before Mary and Joseph and those who will come after. Simeon and Anna represent the wisdom of faithful living. They recognize who Jesus is, and they declare it with great certainty. They have waited for God, waited and waited and waited for God, and understand that God's timetable does not always match ours. They know what it is to be patient, to live a life of ebb and flow with joys and sadnesses, but never abandoning their faith. They've lived long enough to see the politics of this empire around them change. They've seen kings come and go. They have even seen technology and war change. They have seen their religion change and culture change. Yet they are still able to see God at work. We can all learn such a wonderful lesson from this biblical moment. The church is such a soul community made up of so many different generations. There are times when we may think, oh, there's only one generation in our congregation, a few outliers. But the church itself is this great soul community. We make covenantal promises just like Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph did. We bring our babies to be baptized so they might bear the visible sign of the invisible grace of God in the baptismal waters, and that they will hold that mark as children of the new covenant made in Jesus. We benefit from the wisdom of multiple generations showing how faith is tried and tested, how God remains faithful, how the soul community ministers together to build up those who are weak or in need of healing or peace or understanding. So often in our society, we need the non-anxious presence which comes from people who have experienced and understood that God is present, that God takes time, that life does indeed ebb and flow, and we don't always get what we want when we want it. We benefit from those who have seen it all and yet have remained faithful. We carry on and we pray and minister and do as God has called us to do so we can recognize blessing when it happens. As we come to this season of fresh beginnings, as we say goodbye to 2017 and enter into the new year, it seems like a right time to reflect on our own soul community. The legacy of Anna and Simeon is one of faith and patience and witness. The question becomes, what is our soul legacy as First Presbyterian Church in Rolla? What do we want it to be? Are we able to embrace who we are today? More of us are in Simeon and Anna's stage of life than in Mary and Joseph's, but that's who we are. And will we walk into 2018 ready to be The faithful congregation formed over 150 years ago, continuing to seek God's purpose. Will we be the congregation who embraces our identity as an intergenerational group of people growing in faith and learning and living out our faith, working through challenges together and bound together as a soul family? Will we be a place where people of all walks of life can gather to seek Christ? Whatever ages or circumstances, whatever backgrounds we bring, whatever baggage we bring, will we be the congregation, the soul family, who is willing to seek Christ in the poor couple who walks through the door unable to put much in the offering plate, but who is able to offer their priceless other gifts of presence? What will our faith legacy be? And really, what are we waiting for to make that legacy a reality? Today we have the gift of God's presence among us. Christ has laid out the tasks before us to love one another, to love our neighbor, to share the good news as we go through our daily lives. We know how Christ wanted us to live. And we don't have to wait, like Simeon and Anna, to know that the Messiah is here. The waiting for that is over. But we still wait. We wait for God's presence to transform us into the people we hope to be, whatever that is. But today we are called to live into the promise of faith, to live each day, never giving up, never closing our eyes, never shutting God out, knowing that God is guiding us each moment and each day, and that the great revelations in our lives happen because we are faithful in the simple things today. Friends, we are a soul community. We are bound together far more deeply than we could ever imagine. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has saved us. The Holy Spirit binds us together. We have a blessing to bestow on all whom we meet. Let us not withhold that, but let that be our goal for each day, so that we can build a legacy of faith and grace and hope and peace and love and forgiveness, so that when people remember and think about First Presbyterian Church, they will think about the ways in which we bear the image of Christ into our community, and that we are able to see with wisdom and with assurance and certainty that God is at work among us, and we can see him and see the blessing when it appears. Amen.